Let me start by reading a Bible verse. Now, it's not the one we're going to look at, so just sit there and listen. It's actually from a book in the New Testament. We're going to look at the Old Testament today. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to what it says. Dear friends, this is Peter speaking, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Now, there's a lot to unpack in that verse, but the part I want you to listen to there is the end of it. That there are things that we might do that could damage, or as the verse says, make war against our soul. You know what the soul is, right? We are dichotomous creatures, you and I. We consist of body and soul. Or you might call it body and spirit, or body and heart. We are material beings as well as immaterial. There's the part of us that you can see, that's our body, and there's the part of us that you can't see, and that's our soul. And Peter says, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. So there are things that you and I might do that weaken or damage or harm our spirit, or that separate us from God, that drive us further away from God. There are things that we might do. And it's fairly easy for you to figure out what some of those things are. Peter just simply calls them sinful desires. But what I want to do is look at the verse from the opposite side, because we could just as easily turn the verse around and say that there are things that we might do that nourish our soul, right? That strengthen our souls, that improve our souls and draw us closer to God. What are some of those things? The spiritual disciplines. Ooh, we kind of recoil at that word discipline, don't we? But the Bible teaches that the spiritual disciplines are things that we can do that strengthen our soul and improve us and make us better and stronger people, and that draw us closer to God. Over the next 5 weeks, what I want to do is talk about some of these spiritual disciplines. And I'm calling them the forgotten disciplines, because unfortunately, in our fast-paced, hectic world, many of us have completely forgotten how to do the things that we're going to talk about. And that's why I'm calling this the impractical life, because they're impractical things. They slow us down. They interrupt our busy schedules. They change the way we eat. They make us get quiet. They're impractical. They're inconvenient. But I hope that we as a church will ponder these forgotten disciplines, because they really do nourish our soul. You know what I believe the disciplines do? They make room in our lives for the Holy Spirit to breathe. And some of us have, gosh, by our behavior, by our actions, by our lack of attention to some of what God's calling us to do, we have not allowed the Holy Spirit room to breathe. And I guess that's what my sabbatical was all about. And I hope that we together here at UPC will allow the Holy Spirit to breathe among us and within each of us through the use of some of these disciplines. So over the next 5 weeks, here are the ones I want to talk about. Listening, celebrating. Do you ever think of that as a discipline? We're going to talk about that next week. Fasting. Ooh, fasting. Remembering. And finally, resting. Those are the five that we're going to spread out over the next 5 weeks. And today we're going to talk first about listening, the spiritual discipline of listening. Now, we could talk about listening on a lot of different levels. We could talk about it in regards to listening to your own heart. We could talk about listening to other people. You know, that's important to do. We could talk about listening to God in prayer. But what I'm going to talk about today, I have to focus in one particular direction. What I want to talk with you today about is listening to God by reading His Word, the Bible. So that's our direction this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of the easiest books in the Bible to find. It's about in the middle. If you find the book of Psalms, just go to the right and you'll find Proverbs. Turn to chapter 1. It's on page 625. 625 of the hardback Bible that you can pull out from under a chair. Proverbs 1, I'm going to try to cover the whole chapter today, but only read beginning with verses 1 through 19. So listen carefully as I read Proverbs 1, 1 through 19. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. This is God's word. I want to talk with you about three things. First, the importance of listening. Second, the difficulty of listening. And third, the benefits of listening to God. So let's start with the importance of listening to God. Look at verse 5 of the passage that I just read. Verse 5 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now in that verse, you notice a contrast between two types of people, the wise and the foolish, right? And what Solomon is saying here is that if you listen to God's principles and God's ways and order your life by the fear of God, you are a wise person. But if you don't, that is, if you ignore God's principles and keep God out on the periphery of your life, if you reject his instruction, if you don't listen to his truth as recorded in the Bible, you know what you are? Solomon says you're a fool. It's a strong word, but that's the way the Bible sees those who ignore God and don't listen to God. Now, Jesus, you know, talked about those same two groups of people, didn't he? He talked about the wise and the foolish. What I'm thinking of is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, after giving that most famous sermon, he said, there once was a wise man who built his house on a rock. And here's the way he described the wise man. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But notice what Jesus said about the fool. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. See, what we're seeing is that both Solomon and Jesus, Proverbs chapter 1, Matthew chapter 7, are saying the same thing, that wise people listen to God when he speaks. Now hear that again. Wise people listen to God when he speaks. God speaks. Isn't that amazing that God speaks? The triune God of heaven and earth, the God who is invisible, immortal, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, who needs no one and no thing for his happiness, who is ultimate and who is complete in and of himself, has chosen to get down on the floor with human beings and speak. It is truly amazing. Think of how the Bible begins. Everybody knows Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. From the very beginning of history, as we know it, God is a speaking God. He spoke the universe into being. And you read through the Old Testament and over again, you see, thus saith the Lord. These words God said. And then you come over to the New Testament and you read the book of John. The very first verse of the book of John says, in the beginning was the, what? Word. Isn't that amazing that even the name of the Son of God signifies that God is a speaking God. His name is the Word. We might ask, how does God speak? And the answers are, well, there are several. He speaks through nature. We can look around us and see much about God. It says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. He speaks through nature. He speaks through people. He speaks through miracles. He speaks through circumstances. He spoke through Jesus. But the clearest way that God speaks to you and me today is through this book, the Bible. This is what we call the Word of God. God is speaking to men and women and boys and girls through this book called the Bible. Peter calls it, he says, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul says that it's God breathed, that God breathes out this Word. You know, over my sabbatical, I got more technological than ever. I'm now on Twitter. Any of you follow me on Twitter? I'll try to follow you on Twitter. Some of you are thinking, what in the world is Twitter? Well, it's a useless bit of information. You can now know when people are brushing their teeth by reading their tweets that come to you. Facebook. Let's all get on Facebook. It's a great way to communicate to one another. I'm on Facebook. Well, guess what? When you pick up your Bible and read a passage, in a sense, what you are reading is God's tweet to you. It is. It is God's Facebook page, as it were. Only it's inspired and inerrant and infallible. It's kind of like God's RSS feed. Anytime you want to know what's on God's mind and heart, anytime you want to know what God is doing and what he wants of you to do, all you've got to do is pick up the Bible and read it for yourself, because it's God's Word. And you know what? Because it's God's Word, you need to listen. You need to listen. Verse 5 of our chapter today, Proverbs 1, says, let the wise listen. If you don't, what did Jesus say? You are a fool. Don't let that be said of you, that you're building your life on sand. That's the importance of listening. Let's move on to the difficulty, because we got to all admit, right, that it's difficult sometimes to be a Bible reader. Let's talk about the difficulty of listening to God. You know, you would think that listening to God would be the easiest thing to do in all the world. We have two eyes. Most of them work pretty well. We have two ears. Most of those work pretty well, too. But despite that, Proverbs chapter 1 says that human beings have a terrible time listening to God. Because of all of the many repetitious ways God says in this book, the book of Proverbs, to listen to him. He says it over and over and over. In verse 8 that I read earlier, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's just another way of saying don't stop listening to the Bible. Listen to it. It says in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, don't give in to them. Verse 15, don't go along with them. You see, you hear all these warnings? It's all throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the Bible too. Why? Why does God repetitiously say, listen to me? It's because we have a hearing problem. We have attention deficit disorder. It's called sin. And we don't listen to God. We don't listen for at least two reasons. Let me tell you why I think we don't listen. Number one is that there are a lot of voices, especially today, right? Wouldn't you agree? There's just so much noise out there in the world. There are a lot of voices that are competing for our attention. Look again at Proverbs 1. I stopped with verse 19. Look at verse 20, and I want to read the rest of the chapter now. Verse 20 says that wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Another word for thoughts is words. I would have made my words known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one listened, that's what gave heed means. No one listened when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and wouldn't accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I'll mock when calamity overtakes you. I'll stop there and you can read the rest of the chapter. But what I hope you hear is that God is calling out his truth to us through the Bible. But because of all of the noise, because of all of the conflicting voices that we give attention to, sometimes we do not listen to God. Have you noticed all of the visual and auditory noise that comes into our brain all the time? Have you ever just sat and listened and looked at all of the stuff that we have to pay attention to? Well, let me just confess to you some of my stuff here. One day last week, I was working on this sermon. I was trying to listen to God. And I just paused for a moment, and I took out a sheet of paper, and I wrote down all of the things that were competing with God's voice at that moment. And here's what I wrote. I'll just read you what I wrote. Along with Microsoft Word, I have my Firefox web browser open with 6 tabs showing. Facebook, Scrabble, iGoogle, Fox News, Gmail, Bible Gateway. I also have TweetDeck open. And every so often it makes a little noise to let me know about a new tweet or a Facebook status update. I read them. I have my BlackBerry out on the table. And I'm texting back and forth with one of my kids. There are 3 conversations going on at tables nearby. A woman is talking on the phone with someone I think is her divorce attorney. A young couple is flirting with each other. Violin music is playing overhead, too loudly, I must say. There is constant background noise, people coming in and going out. I hear a latte or some other coffee drink being made. A busboy is cleaning off tables. A man is sitting at the next table. He's wearing sandals. I notice he has one toenail much longer than all the others. It's the 3rd toenail on his left foot. It's the longest toenail I think I've ever seen. I hope that person's not here today. Am I insane? What am I thinking? Am I listening to God with all that stuff going on? Well, I'm trying to, but it's awfully hard. Says in verse 20 that wisdom is calling aloud in the streets. But many times we aren't listening, are we? There are just too many competing voices. By the way, let me just sidebar. Did you notice anything different about our service this morning? At the beginning, we didn't do announcements. And that was purposeful. Over my sabbatical, it just occurred to me that we get so much information on Sunday morning when it's already right there printed for you and it'll be on the screen when we do the slides. But we're going to try as an experiment to cut down on the amount of information we're asking you to remember and take in. Why? Because the most important thing for you and me to do when we get here on Sunday morning is to begin to listen to God. And so I hope when you arrive on Sunday, you'll come in to say, Lord, be like little Samuel, the boy Samuel. Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Well, one reason that it's hard to listen is just all of this stuff that hits our brains. But there is a second reason why we find it difficult to listen to God, and that is that we have a sinful nature that resists His voice. It's the old person that we used to be before God found us. If you're a Christian this morning, you know what I'm talking about. You have that old fleshy nature. The Bible calls it your flesh. And it resists the voice of God. In verse 29 that I did not read, it says, they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. You know what the sinful nature does when it hears God speaking through the Bible? The sinful nature puts the fingers in the ears and goes, la, 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 like that. It doesn't want to hear what God says. And you and I are, if we're God's people, are battling that flesh all the time. And that's why it makes it difficult to hear God. So, listening is difficult. We've already seen that it's so important. Why should you and I try to develop the discipline of listening to God? Well, because in the third place, of the benefits of listening to God. There are many benefits. I don't have time to get into all of them, but go back to the first few verses of Proverbs 1 to show you the first benefit of listening to God, where Solomon says that the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what's right and just and fair. Listen to that again. For doing what is right and just and fair. You know, those are the things that people today are crying out for. Have you been watching what's going on at some of these town hall meetings? Now, I don't know what you think about the healthcare system and some of the proposals for healthcare reform. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you just noticed the behavior of the people at the town hall meetings? They are crying out, aren't they, for fairness, for justice, for equity. And if you read the Bible, you will learn what is right and what is just and what is fair. Here in the Word of God, that is where things like that can be found. Second benefit, look at verse 33, the very last verse of Proverbs 1. Whoever listens to me will live, it says, in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Don't you want a more peaceful life? When the storms of life are thrown at you, don't you want to be solid? Don't you want to be dealing with those things with a sense of confidence and calm to know that God's in control and that you can persevere through it? The way to have a peaceful life, the way to be at peace and at calm, as this verse says, is to read the Bible, to let God's truth sink into your heart and into your mind. And there are many other benefits as well, but the greatest benefit of them all, of listening to God in the Word of God, is this. The more you read the Bible, the more you get to know Jesus. Because the whole Bible reveals Jesus Christ. Every page has something to say about our need of Christ or the person and work of Jesus Christ. The more you get to know Jesus Christ, guess what happens? The more like Him you become. And so a third benefit of reading the Bible is Christ-likeness, growing to be more and more like Jesus. So this morning we've seen the importance, the difficulty, and the benefits of listening to God. Now, what are you going to do with this information? Has this just been more noise? Or will you, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, put these words into practice? Let me give you two takeaways for you to remember this morning and in the days and weeks ahead about the discipline of listening. The first takeaway is this, I hope you've seen this morning from what we've learned that God speaks because He wants a relationship with you. I might be speaking this morning to somebody who's never met Christ. Maybe you don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God. This Bible is written to prove to you that God is seeking you out to have a relationship with you. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross 2,000 years ago to enter into a relationship with Him. So if you've heard nothing else that I've said this morning, know this. God speaks because He wants a relationship with you. Never forget that. Second takeaway. I want to be clear about this. Everyone at UPC needs to be meeting with God one-on-one in some kind of regular, consistent basis. Now, this just goes without saying that if you're a believer, you need to have what many Christians call a quiet time. You need a time and a space where you listen to God speak to you from His Word. Of course, you're going to speak to Him too. That's what prayer is. But what we're talking about today is letting God speak to you and you listen to Him. You know, our mission as a church is what? We strive, our mission statement says, we strive to be a community of grace, making a difference in the lives of the people of East Orlando. How are you and I going to make a difference to people if we're not listening to God ourselves? If we're not allowing God's Word to soak our hearts and minds and change us from the inside out? So if you're new to the Christian faith, here's what you need to do to have a quiet time. You need to have a Bible, and I would recommend either the one that we use here. It's called the New International Version, NIV. Or it could be the New Living Translation, the NLT, or it could be the English Standard Version, the ESV. I mean, there are so many of these Vs out there. You have no excuse for not having a good Bible. So first, get yourself a good Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one there at the welcome desk this morning. Second thing you need is you need a consistent time. You need a quiet place and a reasonable plan. A time, a place, and a plan. Now, I try to read the Bible through in a year. You do not have to do that. But you know how much that takes me every day? About 15 minutes. If you spend about 15 minutes a day in the Bible, you can get through it in a year. But you don't have to do that. Here's what I would insist upon everybody here at our church doing. At least 3 days a week. Spending at least 15 to 30 minutes with God one-on-one in this quiet time of letting Him talk to you and you talking to Him back in prayer. Can you do it? 3 days a week? 15 minutes? I think we can do that. But you say, but Mike, I'm so discouraged. I'm so discouraged about this. I used to have a quiet time, but now it just gets so dry and boring, I gave up. Or you might be saying, Mike, I feel like such a failure. Every time I try to pray, I fall asleep. Or you might be saying, Mike, I'm just too busy. I can't squeeze one more thing into my busy, hectic life. Let me give you something that might help. I'm an empty nester, and I like it. But my wife and I will be sitting around at night watching TV or something, and my cell phone goes off, and I look at it, and it's David. Or it's Jennifer, or it's Michael, or it's Rebecca. My heart leaps. Those are my kids. I stop whatever I'm doing. I got to talk to them. I want to speak to them. Have you come to find that quiet times are just a duty and a task? It's not. To God, it's a delight. Over my sabbatical, my daughter Jennifer woke me up one morning and said, Dad, let's go running on the beach. Don't you know I jumped at the chance to be with my little girl? That's God's attitude toward you. He wants to be with you. How could you not listen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you love us enough to talk to us. You love us enough to listen to us. Forgive us, O Lord, for letting these moments of time with you become just a beauty. Holy Spirit, I pray today that you will take your word and drill it so far deep into our hearts that you will change us into men and women and boys and girls who thirst for more of your words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.